o te motu te nā koutou katoa me ngā mihi ki o tātou tini mate, ki o tātou tini aitua. Uri tū mai ki o tātou kei te utūroa ti hewa. Mauri ora, no mai e ngai, we welcome back to Māpuna for this week. We are here at the Hāpai Tūhono Charitable Trust Office in Manukau, South Auckland, to talk about a living, breathing example of Te Tiriti-based co-governance and leadership in action. As always, you can feed back to the show today. We love to have your feedback, and we hope to be able to feedback on the feedback we get in future shows as well. But I'm joined today by four wahine toa, talking about building better homes, towns and cities national science challenge. But we'll also be talking about some other key and critical issues with relevance to our communities, Māori communities, not just in South Auckland, but communities across Aotearoa. These four wahine toa with me today are helping leading research into housing and kaupapa Māori kāinga innovations. And their organisation funds Māori community-led research into housing innovations to help combat the housing crisis. So let's introduce them. I'm joined first of all by Rihi Tenana, who's the Tangata Whenua Co-Director of Ngāti Hauā, Ngāpuhi, Ngāti Tuwaretoa, Ngāti Maniopoto, Ngāti Raukawa descent. Rihi, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Also welcoming Ruth Berry, who's the Tangata Tiriti Co-Director. Ruth, tēnā koe, kia ora.
Tēnā koe.
Also joined by Gina Moses Tikani, the Tangata Whenua Co-Chair, Ngāti Kuia Tiwi, kura hopo te waka, Gina, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
And also Hope Simonson, who's the Tangata Tiriti Co-Chair. Hope, thank you for your time, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, thank you very much for welcoming us. Let's begin then by talking about building better homes, towns and cities national science challenge. Now the name suggests we know the answer to the question, but talk to me about, Ruth, about that. What is and what is the main point of focus for building better homes, towns and cities national science challenge?
Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities National Science Challenge is one of 11 national science challenges set up about 8 or 9 years ago. And the challenges were set up to look at intractable issues where the way we were doing things wasn't making a difference, so let's look at something different. And each has its own scope. Ours is homes, kāinga, communities, hapori through to regions. And we stretched it a bit and we were very clear that it was about homes, so people are at the centre of ours. And I guess the other thing about it, in terms of doing it differently, the idea was if you mix different research disciplines, if you include community, if you have people across a range of institutions, that's where the magic comes, in that middle ground where people meet together. And for us personally, we set it up, but we stretched it further so that we've since evolved to a treaty partnership.
Okay, I'm going to talk more about treaty partnerships, but particularly given what's happened in Aotearoa recently and severe weather climate events that have occurred, how much more pertinent now is the role of what we're doing here given what's happened recently?
Yeah, we were thinking about this the other week. When we set it up, the housing affordability was an issue, housing supply was an issue, and 8 or 9 years later, housing affordability is an issue, housing supply is an issue, climate crisis is an issue, cost of living is an issue, and housing and homes, having a good, decent home is sort of at the heart of all of that. So in some respects, it's become more pertinent, but that's not to say that we haven't made progress in the time that we've been going as a challenge.
Yeah, don't be afraid to just join in, everyone. I mean, I'm just keen to kind of explore that because, you know, there's a lot of focus on what different community groups are doing at the moment, what government departments are doing at the moment. I mean, housing's an interesting one just because there's so many organisations involved. So how do you work through that with everyone else in the sector who is doing work like this at the moment?
I think for us, the challenge itself is given Māori and kaupapa Māori researchers the opportunity to lean into the needs of their communities. And that is often not necessarily the starting place for any kairangahau. The starting place is about a research idea, whereas this challenge, BBHTC, has insisted that the nature of the research comes out of a community issue that needs to be resolved, needs to be addressed. So over the lifetime of this challenge, we've collected copious amounts of really critical issues that impact on Māori and non-Māori. And now we see these, you know, if we think about what's happening on the East Coast, we see that we're being stretched yet again. How do we view research? Is it short, you know, do we need to have a different range where it's short-term solutionised, mid-term resolutions and long-term research? Because right now there's the climate crisis and adaptation is right at the forefront of the housing crisis. You know, we've got communities without whare. And so I think researchers will yet again have to adapt and really think about what are those critical needs that we need to provide knowledge into, that we need to go and corridor with different people.
And how much pressure is there on researchers to try and do it quickly, because the solutions required are now solutions, right? So how do we come up with rebuild or replacement or whatever the answers might be? I mean, how much pressure gets put on researchers to try and respond quickly to do that, do you?
I think luckily we've got a, you know, we've got an archive full of research that goes across solutions that we have invested in, right? I think there is a challenge to look at solutionisation, which is something that's not necessarily been overtly in the research space. However, given the needs of communities right now, and from the north, you know, right down the east coast, we have to be smart, and we not only have to be smart in what we're wanting to produce, but what have we got? What research is available, and how do we package that to give to government departments, to communities, to other stakeholders? Because I think that's the bit. It's a both. It's an and solution. We've done a lot of work. Now the work needs to come into play, you know, that knowledge.
So let's talk about what we've got. What have we got? go right there.
Okay, Ruth and I will take this one. So I can talk about the rangahau Māori. So we've got work around small communities. We've got work there, rangahau that's around addressing water issues. So, you know, from polluted waters to water-sensitive urban design, which is really what
Sponge.
We, you know, and this work was, yeah, this work was produced 3 or 4 years ago. So that's what I'm saying. And then we've got design, whare Māori, design that can be placed in a large city or a small rural community. And then we've got our own marae, who actually have come to the fore and been seen, rightly so, as critical hubs and communities. So, you know, the range of rangahau is not just Māori, but it's about this country, and I think that's really important. And we've got research being undertaken in terms of the tiny houses and, you know, prefabricated housing. So, you know, there's a lot there. I think we now, and I don't know who the we is, it's partly Ruth and I, but also the researchers need to think, how do we deliver information? Yep. How do we get the comms out so this library that we have is best utilised out there? So that's the challenge. You know, we're looking for impact because they're looking for solutions, our people.
I think the other thing that's really important for us and is characterised in the research that we've done is that people are at the centre of it. Right back at the beginning, before we were even a challenge, we had a hui in Christchurch, and a gentleman, Matua Henare Edwards, stood up and said, you know, it's the whare is important, but what's in the whare is most important. And so that sort of flown through our research, and you look at things like we've worked with the Rauawaawa Charitable Trust in Hamilton, where they were looking at kaumātua housing, but it wasn't about just building homes for kaumātua. It was then how do you make them shine? They've moved on to social enterprise, been out in the community, they developed a toolkit, they've taken it to Awarua and Bluff and in Taranaki and worked with other communities. And, you know, the Awarua one was a really lovely example where they've built some new...
Right behind the marae.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
And one of the things that was really lovely about that was the toolkit led them through a design process that wasn't just about the practicalities and the functionality, but every single one of those whare faces the sea, because the people in Bluff come from the sea, and that's what grounds them and connects them. So they really thought about the flow of it. We've done work on, you know, wellbeing's a big thing that's been around the government for a while. So we've done the Māori Ora wellbeing framework that looks at people, the environment, economic, cultural, social. But the framework, rather than a typical framework that starts with Western science and then you kind of fudge Māori or Te Ao Māori into it, it comes from a Te Ao Māori perspective and then fudges some of the Western language into it. And they're working with Te Tato o Te Arawa in Rotorua on how do you then redevelop and address some of the issues in Rotorua in a way that empowers the community and looks after the environment at the same time.
Yeah. There's a very Māori approach to this mahi, right? And yeah. Some of our audience might be surprised by that. So Jean and Hope, I just want to ask about that Māori approach, because, as I say, there might be some of our audience members going, well, why would that matter? So, for example, when you're talking about marae, and obviously the importance of marae is about people, he tangata. So I just want to talk about that purposeful Māori-led approach that has been undertaken here. Why is that?
So from a governance perspective, we know that Māori have been the most disadvantaged group in this country with regard to housing for a very long time. So it's really important that we recognise that, and I think we've done that really well through the challenge and picked up on that and thought about why. It's not just about providing bricks and mortar, it's actually about providing homes that are appropriate and you know, meet the needs of Māori people. And that's, you know, that's kind of been centre of what we've been doing.
There's a challenge that some people will raise about that, that will say, well, yes, it's about need, and not that off-quoted phrase that is used a lot nowadays, which is about need, not race. What's your response when you hear things like that, particularly in this sphere?
It actually is about Māori. When you look at the public housing register, 50% of those on that register are Māori whānau. So you can't get away from it. You just absolutely can't get away from it. And they make up the largest proportion of our homeless population. They're there because what is in place for everyone isn't working. And so we've got to be doing things differently.
And you're one of two co-directors, obviously, co-director Tiriti, Tangata Tiriti. How does that work, Hope? Because I'm going to ask Gina about that.
Yep.
But how does it work for you? Because there's a lot of talk about co-governance in the moment and how it could work or how it should work. Talk to me about that.
So it works really well. Gina and I share the conversations with the co-directors. So we meet as four of us on a regular basis to check in on how things are going. We alternate the chairing of the meetings. And what that does for me is I'm at the table, I bring a Te Tiriti perspective to that, but it also then frees Gina up to also focus on those specific Te Ao Māori issues that she needs to in her role.
Gina? Whakaaro?
So we moved to co-governance or co-chairs reasonably early in our journey as a challenge, and we initially had basically a white male governance board, and I was the only woman, and we had two Māori out of six or seven governors. And that's an interesting place to start, right? And when we decided not to have a kahui, which lots of other challenges have a kahui, which is a kind of a Māori advisory group, we went, why would we do that? Why wouldn't we be treaty partners inside the full governance? And so that journey was a really interesting journey with my peers, to the point where we mooted it. The white men led the way, and we had to change our constitutional document with all of the universities to form co-chairs. So that was just at the initial stage, is around co-chairs and the sharing of leadership, and then having a governance group that was fully co-governance as well. So we had a better mix of Māori non-Māori women, men. And so our governance group looks very different from what it did when we first started. And I think it adds a whole dynamic Aotearoa conversation at every single meeting. And I mean, being a co-chair, I'm a co-chair with Māori as well. That power sharing and leadership sharing is our way of working in all the things that we do, and it goes throughout our whole organisation. Can I talk about our co-directors?
I was just going to say, how does it work with co-directors? So not only co-chairs, but co-directors. So why that approach?
So co-chairs was actually easy because our leadership and the people on our leadership understood that we could lead together. Co-directors, where you've got accountability. We were challenged right at the beginning that it just was not possible to have clear accountability, financial accountability, clear delineation of roles and responsibilities. And we went, that's totally not right. We're just going to do it. Because actually, I think there was more doubt that was stopping us from moving forward than actual fact. Hmm. So we've done it. It was very smooth moving. It did help that we had co-governance already. We had that dynamic leadership. But also the people that we chose knew that their job was to be co-directors. Mm. That it wasn't you are working with Māori and you're working with non-Māori. Mm. Everything we do has a lens. And so it's bringing te ao Māori and te ao tiriti into everything we do. Mm. So we have that wearing glasses lens where it comes together so we can see each other's perspectives, each other's worldviews, and it filters right through our whole challenge. Mm. It actually started in our initial decisions. Mm. So when our first decisions were made, Vision Mātauranga was one of the standards that research projects had to meet, and we went, no, that's not actually good enough. We want to see that you have co-design, co-development with your communities that you're working with. We want to know that you're working with Māori communities, mm. not a Māori person or all sorts of other options that came up. And actually all of our research projects that started had to really rethink how they engaged in partnership with their Māori communities. Mm. And it's made such a difference to all of our programs. I was so proud in the beginning, we are competitive because we are number 11 of 10 science challenges. Mm. We're the forgotten challenge. I was very proud that in the beginning, we had the most Māori researchers out of all of the, we had the most Māori researchers out of all of the challenges. And it wasn't because we had a Māori stream, which we did, it was because every single research program had to have kaupapa Māori research in it.
Okay, so you talked about the accountabilities, and this is for both you and Hope, Gina, to answer, I think. How do you ensure equity of outcomes out of the mahi? And I'll ask the co-directors about this as well, actually, and how that's working. But how do you do that from a governance perspective? Because that's what the governance is all about, right, is ensuring the outcomes. So how do you achieve the equitable outcomes in the mahi that you're doing?
So one of the tools that we have, and it's one of many, is that and this sort of came out of a review that we had in 2018, and again in 2020, it was great. You've got only research happening, but what about your structure? What about your systems? What about your decision making? Mm. And so we developed a decision making tool, which ended up being the tool to make decisions with all research coming through looking for funding. Mm. And that tool really had a core sort of number of questions that we needed to ask of every piece of research. And so does the research have Māori as well as non-Māori principal investigators? Are Māori active participants in the research? Are there clear processes to protect Māori cultural and intellectual property? And are there clear mechanisms to ensure that the Te Tiriti is being operationalised through the research? So we actually didn't fund some research because they didn't meet that criteria. They had to go back and relook at what they were doing and come back to us again.
So what was the response to that?
People got it. People absolutely got it. They were sort of, in an essence, ticking a box, weren't they? Mm. And then they had to actually properly think about it.
I'll ask Ruth and Andrea about this as well, but because there are some interesting perspectives particularly around things like Mātauranga Māori at the moment, within some tertiary institutions. So how have they grappled with that in the mahi that you're doing at the moment with this?
So most of our research is community-led and Māori-led, so we've sort of haven't necessarily had to bump up against too much of that. In that sense, but it's just about saying, well, actually, here's the decision making framework. If you want funding for your particular research, that's what, you know, these are the goals you need to meet.
And we provided support, so we didn't just throw them out there and say this is what you need to do. We actually provided them support. So our co-directors have amongst them enough people to provide the guidance, the hookups with Māori communities. We as a governance, before we started our journey, went through Te Tiriti o Waitangi training ourselves. And Ngāti Umi Blair and I, we got a good kick up the bum with that. We were like, yeah, we need to up our game, because you can get complacent. All of us needed to step up. And we encouraged the Brands Board to do it as well. So this is, we're providing leadership and education as we move forward for all of the players, stakeholders in our sector.
I'm here speaking with Gina Moses Takani, the Tangata Whenua co-chair, Hope Simonson, the Tangata Tiriti co-chair, Ruth Berry, the Tangata Tiriti co-director, and Rihi Tenana, the Tangata Whenua co-director for the Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities National Science Challenge here in Monaco, South Auckland. Let's come to the co-directors, because I asked about how you ensure equitable outcomes in the mahi that you're doing. How do you do that from an operational perspective? What does that look like?
I think the fundamental key for us is relationship. So one of the things that...
Internal
and external, but I think the primary relationship is between the two of us, between Rihi and I. And we pushed quite hard to make sure that we could build our own relationship first. We're really different people, but we're on the same page when it comes to values, when it comes to what we want out of the challenge. Because fundamentally, there's not a lot of difference in approach to the Māori and non-Māori research in terms of it being community-led, being people first. So that makes us quite a tight unit, but it doesn't make us the same either. So I think investing that time, and also, Gina talked about the accountabilities and things like that. We pushed back a little on that, so we didn't want to do a work plan that said this is Rihi's task, this is Rihi's task. We do that ourselves, but it was important that we actually stay together a lot at the beginning until we really understand how each other works, how each other thinks. You almost get to finishing each other's sentences, but I think it would have been a mistake if we'd gone right from the beginning, this is your task, this is my task, and yeah.
The reason why I'm interested in it, because if anyone's looking for helpful hints on how you make co-governance real, this is we're giving them the cheat sheet here, right? Mm-hmm. But it must have been really interesting from a management perspective on trying to translate that into operation, because it sounds like something really good, but how do you give effect to it? And the whole process of implementation must have been a fascinating thing to undertake at the time. I mean, investing in time in the first place is different. Organisations don't do that.
No, so a lot of it is there's a lot of micro, I call it sort of micro slow down to go fast.
Yeah.
So rather than just, we have to do this because I'm all ideas and Rihi's goal focused, the goals just don't do it for me. So sometimes we have to actually slow down and stop and have the conversation, really understand, dig underneath what is triggering each other or what's causing us to want to go a particular way, and then that allows us to go fast. But if you just crack on and not deal with that stuff, and sometimes it only takes 5-10 minutes, sometimes it takes a couple of days.
Can you give us an example? Governance is signed off, don't worry about it.
For me, I think, because, I came into the challenge on the crest of the wave, so governance had been set up, Ruth was there, and I just wrote in, and what I realised for me was I didn't know Ruth, and actually, in order for co-leadership to be successful, the whanaungatanga, or the process of whakawhanaungatanga, was really important. And I know that, you know, Ruth has described me very well, and then I'm like, oh, go, go, go. And I think that there's a balance between being able to be able to check yourself. So for me, who's always had mostly a good run of the way he does it in the world, really had to kind of realise, oh, I've got a mate here, and she brings organisational and institutional knowledge, which I didn't have. I came from a research background. So, you know, sometimes there are times where we will get to a point where we're coming at it take in two separate ways, and then we have to go, you know, we have to dig deep, and it is dig deep, because we have to, you know, we have to almost show a bit of ourselves that we may or may not have done in a standard organisation. And that's successful, I think, in the end. When you invest in, you know, a long-term relationship, organisationally, you have to reveal some of yourself, you know. So, and I'm just thinking about this little tiff we had yesterday.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Tell us all about it. No, this is good. This is good. This is
yeah, and you know,
informative. This is
yeah.
What
so it was really about, and I think it is. This is the point of tension of Te Reti o Waitangi Mahi. You will have a view that, you know, clearly Ruth had a view, and I didn't take kindly to it. And actually, I just, because we had been getting ready for this, and Ruth and I have got a publication for a book, and it's all about Te Reti, I felt like, you know, like, just stop, But in the end, we had a good talk about it, and in the end, that's the bit. If you leave the table, you leave the table. You will never have that discussion. So, you know, when the time was right yesterday, we could talk about that. Because in the end, we want to show Aotearoa New Zealand that this process is good for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not a Māori process.
Yeah.
It's an Aotearoa New Zealand process.
So how do you do that in a specific bit of mahi? Say, for instance, comms. How does it work from that perspective, doing it when you have to do a combined collaborative kind of message, say for instance about a research funding or process or whatever it is? How do you do that together so that that it is this approach in action?
Yeah, I think we have to respect our points of view, and I know that in terms of proposals and that, Ruth is probably more kind of generous and kinder than I am in that sense, where she will say, oh, well, you know, let's think about what they've done. Let's think about their success, where I think, this is the worst proposal I've seen. You know? I'm not even going to entertain proposal, you know. So she holds a very heartfelt position, and, gosh, I wish I had a heartfelt position. And I am that, you know, goal-oriented person, because I'm always looking for success, not for us first,
yeah,
for the people, for our communities first.
Yeah.
So if the proposal looks a bit whack, you know, it'll be Ruth that goes out and sees them. Because I'm like, oh, well, you go talk to them. Because she's good at that. That's her superpower. Whereas I can run through the thing and think, oh, yes, well, can you get them to talk about that? And, you know, so I have a different side to the proposal development.
Yeah.
And former political reporters are good at straddling that middle line. They're very diplomatic.
I think, though, it flows through into the co-directorship and implementation and what we do in the challenge. You can choose to catastrophise. You can choose to look at all the things that could go wrong. And I think that's what happened in the initial conversation around can't have co-directors because you can't have two people in charge. It'll never work. And I guess I'm maybe stupidly optimistic, but you kind of see the possibility, you kind of see the good, and not worry about so much what could go wrong, because I think if you go looking for the bad, if you go looking for the fault, if you go looking for the problem, you'll find it. But if you go looking for the good and if you go looking for the opportunity, you'll also find it. It's not perfect, and we certainly make mistakes. But in order to progress, you have to do that. And I think across the challenge, we've got, whether it's Māori research or non-Māori research, the principles are the same. People first. I think Māori, non-Māori alike feel like there's an awful lot of decisions being made at the moment that are being done to you, that you you don't feel a part of, that you're not feeling heard. And so we've always had at the core of our research, whether it's a Māori organisation, a non-Māori community, that it's a community voice that's really important, and that's where the knowledge sits.
You mentioned a word called optimism, which I think is really important, particularly when we're now dealing with some of the issues that we're dealing with, right? So how do you retain that when we're talking about things like, you know, the state of the economy in the world at the moment, and government spending, not retrenchment, but anyway, there's never enough funding to be able to do more research, to be able to put the research into action and do things. So how do you retain that in this main?
You just start. So that was the principal reason. That was one of three reasons we were given right at the beginning as to why we weren't funded initially, why we were deferred. Sitting in a room with people writing cabinet papers saying, oh, well, we can't give you enough money. And it's like, compared to zero, a little bit of money is great. We'll work with it. And so I think it's just chunking it down and finding even the littlest seed of good in something. And there's not good in everything. We've had some spectacular moments where we've had to let go some things because they weren't right.
Yeah. From a governance perspective, though, I mean, you know, this is the charge that's on your shoulders, it sits on your shoulders, the responsibility to be able to achieve these outcomes, right? So what's that like for you now, doing that now, given things that have happened, particularly with weather events and all that kind of thing? You know, is it constantly a quest to try and get more to do more, or is it just constantly trying to prove the worth of what we're doing currently and the worth of the projects that have been funded and research has been
undertaken? It's all of that, Julian. You know, I think the big focus that we've had over the last couple of years has been communicating for impact. Mm-hmm. It's really about getting the stories out there, and it's about getting those voices out there, because at the moment there is a lot of telling people what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and what we need is the other way around. We need this research to be actually informing policy, to be informing the way people think, and to be informing the conversation starters rather than being done too, because we know that there's such richness in this research. The other thing I just want to say about that too is that the actual research activity has strengthened communities, and we're not telling that story enough yet, but it has. It's actually made a really big difference. We've got community researchers. We've got people who live in these communities who are researching their own communities, and you know that there's some magic in that as well, in terms of not losing those little gems as we go through this.
And how responses are funders to the current stories that are being told to them about the impact of this work?
Yeah, it's been the battle, is getting the data, the evidence in front of the people with the pockets. Still work to do in that space.
I think that one of the successes is where policymakers from, you know, Kāinga Ora or Imhad are now looking at our research to inform their policy development. And that to me is, you know, that has always been the goal. For researchers, that is the goal, that you make impact into the way in which this country and its policies are being constructed. So, you know, that gives me great... Well, it leaves me some hope, really, that, you know, finally we've got policy people who are coming to us and saying, do you have this research? You know, we had an online symposium, and we shared with some policy people from IMHAD our research that we'd invested in, and those researchers and their teams, they were just totally blown away. Now they just go directly to the team. They will go through our archives to find that information. So for me, that is purposeful researching. And for our communities, we've got, you know, books that talk about marae, and then there's, free whare designs that are part of a research package, right? So we're making it accessible out there first. It's not to, you know, but I think you're right, Hope, in that we still have a long way to go in terms of getting the research in the, you know, the communications of the impact of our research. So wherever, you know, with the National Māori Housing Conference is coming up, we've got a big site there, and we are pushing the research, you know. Mm. We are saying, have a look around. This is the research that we have supported, and here are the outputs. So they're online books, reports, housing designs, the whole gambit. And that, I think, in the end, has been the critical shift of the science challenge, whereas, you know, the goal for a researcher in yesteryear used to be a publication in your PBRF. Yeah. And our goal is that somebody's reading it from a community, or a community has picked up the book about homelessness at Te Puia and is using, thinking about that in their own communities.
That's a good, thank you for noting also the National Māori Housing Conference, Rotorua, March 31st, I think it is, right?
29th, 31st.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Gina, you're a long-term experienced governor and a lot of interactions with iwi as well. Iwi interested in this? I mean, have they shown interest in the research and trying to apply in their own way from your knowledge? I mean, I'm trying to think back to my time at a couple of iwi I work with, and I can't remember them picking up the pearls of wisdom that come out of some of these research. But you know, I'm asking the question just out of genuine kind of interest, really.
When this challenge was set up, when all the challenges were set up, I think iwi in general had that research fatigue, and we often were like, we don't really want to be involved with any more research, let alone receive research. And I think that started to change because we've got grassroots community-based research coming through their community to iwi that way, which is the most appropriate way, right? It's the successful, this is what's working in my community and another community, like the Komatsu housing is, that's a real primo example of hapori Māori picking up and sharing it with each other. We definitely, in the iwi world, have a view that research does happen to us, not with us. Mm. And I think that's what's changed the uptake of where we're at now. And I just wanted to dip in and say that there are 11 national science challenges. We're all at different stages of our Te Tiriti o Waitangi journeys, but between all 11 challenges, we have the answers to what's just happened now. The research has been going on for long enough now that it's actually just waiting to be picked up by the government and the public sector if they bother to look.
I also note that we have an all wahine panel, and I know we spoke about co-governance, but I'm also interested in support for and projects particularly to wahine Māori. So, has there been funding for work like that, and can we talk a bit about that? I just think it's an important thing to note, and I wonder if we could talk a bit about that and focus on that for a little while.
I suppose I will just say that a number of the program leaders are wahine Māori, and we have a, you know, our view is about our people, you know, whānau, hapū, iwi. And so in some ways it's kind of, to me, trying to normalise this idea we're more than just mana wahine. We're the embodiment of the future of our pukapuna and those to come. And so for me, you know, just having, and these are senior leaders in the research world, Pākehā and Māori, who are leading, and they're iwi leaders, some of them. So, you know, look, we get it all. But they are always focused into their people. And I think that is critical in that sense where, you know, it's a bit like Te Puia's to put your saying, you know.
Mahi a te mahi a paing moti.
Aye, you know, and I mean, we don't think, oh, I'm all, you know. We just go out and do the mahi.
Yeah.
Mahi a te mahi, you know.
I think it has flown through from the beginning. So right at the very beginning, one of the people that was involved who was incredibly influential to me and supportive, and she knocked me into line a few times, was Ella Henry. And then there's a really nice story that partway through, Ella had a student, or knew of a student, and she said, I've got the student working as a research assistant, you need to pay for her. That student was a wahine Māori called Jacqueline Paul, who has come through the challenge. She completed her master's, she completed her PhD, she's since done, oh,
she, no, completed she's another doing, master's at
completed
Cambridge.
Completed another master's at Cambridge and is currently at MIT doing her PhD. So we're also thinking about the next generation. Mm. So right at the beginning, it was if the same people are here in 10 years' time, then we've not succeeded as we should have. And so we've got this awesome cohort of the Jackies, the Mayaratanas, who you'll see in years to come, and they'll be well fierce.
Yeah. We spoke to Jackie, actually, a couple of months ago, actually, before she went overseas. Yeah. So it was great to have that interview with her. And the ubiquitous and indefatigable Dr. Ella Henry, we must acknowledge. The final thing I just wanted to ask, and it's been a privilege to be able to talk to you all here, and we're fast closing in on the top of the hour, but there's a couple of things I just wanted to close off with, if I may. I'm also curious about, you know, the view of this particular science challenge that you mentioned earlier, Gina. It seemed to me like there was almost like a view of a poor cousin approach. Is that real, or is that just something that, is that a perspective or not, or is it generally the view of science challenges that there's so many that trying to find your foothold, given that there are so many other challenges, is that an issue, or is it just the fact that, you know, there's a lot of research going on and trying to get that out there and communicate that to people is something that's really important.
You mean that because we were the forgotten?
Yeah, there was just a comment earlier that...
I mean, can you imagine that they would forget that housing is an issue?
Mm.
And that we needed long-term research that found solutions in communities for housing. That's what happened to us. But I actually think moving forward... our challenge isn't just about housing, it's actually about people and communities. And I think that the new world and the way of looking at research will be more people-centric and more holistic, because that's what we've achieved in our challenge. And I think the other challenges have as well. And so if you don't think of homes and communities in relation to people, then you're just doing infrastructure. Yeah.
Mm. I see a lot of nodding head there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other added comments?
No, look, I think Gina hit the nail on the head with that. I think one of the other difficulties may have been as well is that there was no kind of central tertiary institution that had it all. Mm. So there was no kind of advocacy for a particular sort of set of researchers or research to happen out of one institution, which is why we have Brands as our host, because it was about, well, who's going to host this cobbled together sort of really important piece of mahi. Mm. So yeah, I think that was probably another factor that influenced that.
Mm. Ka pai. I don't really want it to end because I think there's so much more to talk about, but I have to because of RNZ hours of broadcast. I want to thank you all very much for talking to us, and noting, of course, as mentioned earlier, that there is the Māori Housing Conference happening the 29th to the 31st of March. Tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, ia koutou kōrero. I really appreciate the time that you've given and also the perspectives that have been given as well. And I think there's a lot to learn out of the approach, actually, in terms of co-governance and implementation that people will pick up on. I've been talking with Gina Moses Takani, also talking with Hope Simonson, Ruth Berry, and Lihi Tenanga. Thank you. And thank you all for listening to the program today. This, of course, has been Mapuna. We've been here in the Hapai Tūhono Charitable Trust office in Manukau, South Auckland, talking about building better homes, towns, and cities, National Science Challenge. That is us for this week on Mapuna. Thank you all for the feedback to the program. We'll feedback to you as well for the comments that you've given us here today. Don't forget to join us next week again after the midday news on Mapuna on Saturday. Kia tau ngā manaaki tanga ki runga ki a koutou katoa. My thanks to our guests, again, Hope Simonson, Gina Moses Takani, Ruth Berry, and Lihi Tenana, and also to our producer, Tama Muru. E kia no te kōrero, ko te toka iākiha, he toka whetianga rā. Ko te toka i Mapuna, ko tāua ki te ai, ko te ripokau. Ti hewa Māori ora, kia tātou katoa.